raised the issue that I was so excited to get to. So hopefully Yanison will check in on time. I don't know if I don't know what happened. I don't know if we traded Scranton like to the Chinese in a deal, you know, or something like that for more PPE. But I'm a little concerned as to Yanison's whereabouts. I think he's missed in 4 years. So we'll have to look up, check up on him. But basically, yesterday we were trying to finish off with some of the perspectives of the Mechaber through the Achronim. Okay, so you know, the Mechaber, as one, you know, I guess, you know, would have guessed, you know, in terms of our issue, it's a little bit of a point of tension between Eitan and myself and Ephraim, how to exactly understand this, but he makes some room for the Shita of the Rosh, despite the his, I think, privileging the Trumas Hadashen with respect to Kelim Chashuvim. You know, he does make an allowance there at the end for the Rosh. But the Rama had a reaction to that, and the Rama says, that's not our minhag. We don't accept that for the Ani. And then we saw that the, you know, Magid Avraham weighs in and says, well, I'm not really so sure that's true. And we noted that, you know, there is a goodly number of Achronim who are pretty sure that, in fact, it's not true. Most prominently, the Vilna Gaon amongst them, and says, no, we go in the direction of the Yerushalmi and the Rosh and all the people who said this is really about Simchas Halev. So who are we to tell the Ani that it's not appropriate for him to make the bracha? On the contrary, maybe the apathetic Ashir is actually Gara from the very excited Ani, even if objectively the Chefza is not impressive at all. And that was documented quite explicitly, you know, by the Radvaz as well, in terms of later Rishonim. Moreover, you know, in terms of the observation of the Magen Avraham, that, you know, maybe this bracha of Kana Kelim Chadashim wasn't observed, it was fascinating that he was willing to contemplate the possibility that this was actually, you know, a reiteration or a rehabilitation of the position of Rav Shri Ragon. And then, even though it seems like a highly technical issue, I think it's extremely significant. So Rami, we got into the question of the Svarim. And we had the Chayyadam and the Magen Avraham locked in a bit of a battle over this point. So the Magen Avraham thought, go ahead, Rami. Exactly. So if this is really about Talmud Torah, we don't think this is about the Rosh and Akiyam, you know, Daraisa of Ksiva Sefer Torah, but if it's really about Talmud Torah, so mitzvos lav lehenosin, it can't be Shachianu is really about making brachos on mitzvos. So Yehuda Mazin, you know, commented the other day, and he's like, well, you know, then what are we doing exactly? And I suggested, right, it might be, okay, go ahead, Rami.
That the simcha is really on the zman of the coming of the mitzvah.
Right, so you're right. It's not on the mitzvah, but it's a zman that has a certain intrinsic kedusha. And I gave the example of, you know, the regular yamim tovim versus where you could argue, no, there really is a notion of when it's only about the mitzvah, that's goreim a certain chalos in the zman. What would that be? If you had to pick one day a year where it doesn't have any intrinsic kedusha, Ezra Baron?
Sorry, I missed it.
If I am Helfgott?
I was going to say Hanukkah, but not even Hanukkah.
Hanukkah?
I know, because Kvo Ma'al Vodah, that's why I...
Midaraisa.
Hanukkah
Shavuos?
We mentioned it. Those all have Kedusha Sayom, that's Mechayev. Levi, what you're saying is not bad because of the, are you alluding to the Ramban there? The Ramban has, what's that?
Yes.
Excellent. So we want to just bring the Havamin of the Ramban was that?
Yeah. Without the Korban Shtei Lechem, you would have thought that there's no Inyan of Shmita.
Beautiful, Levi. Outstanding. Hey, you just came across it?
Well, no, you told us to do the Rambans in those three partios.
Thank you. Okay. I am very pleased that you did that and that you were able to apply that properly. So there is a Havamin in the Ramban. That's a good answer. But what are we talking about? Which day would it be? Beautiful, Levi. Right, Yud Aleph Nisan, the Karban Pesach, right, generates a certain status in the day. That's why there's no status the night before, but the Karban Pesach generates a kind of an Isser Malacha and a quasi Kiddush HaSayom. That's what the Torah calls, you know, Chag HaPasach, and then afterwards you have the Chag HaMatzos. Okay, but in normal cases, it seems like there's an intrinsic Kedushas HaZman, and then the mitzvos are, you know, a product of that, instead of it being the other way around. There's a really important question that Yehuda raised. So it seemed like the Magen Avraham was really developing a completely new approach to the bracha of Shachianu in the context, broadly speaking, of mitzvos. It's not on the mitzvah, but it's having reached a Zman, which is a Zman, which is ra'oi and set up for discharging mitzvos. Really interesting idea. So the Chai Adam sort of chips away at the margins of that and says, well, I'll be the rush to your tosvos. What does that mean, Ben Sion? Chai Adam says, I'll grant you I think Ben Sion is in a state of you need me to do it? Okay, I'll do it. Here, unmute. Sorry.
My internet was can you repeat? Sorry.
Oh, so I was saying, so the Chai Adam turns to the Magen Avraham and he says, You very fine Polish Jew. I like you very much. Mimela, I know more than you do because I'm from Vilna and you're only from Poland. But,
I don't remember the
Chai Adam. Okay, no, it's okay. Ilan?
That it all depends on the person. If it's a person who really enjoys it, then you should make a bracha.
Close. I mean, you can come to the same place, but just the Hechitimsi is a little different. Akiva?
He says that if you were looking after the Sefer, you were trying to get it for a while, and then you finally get your hands on it, so that generates a much greater simcha than just, okay, so I see a safer in a store that, okay, I see it and I buy it.
Right, he says, don't be such a purist about mitzvos lav lehenos nisnu. I can grant you that point and still, you know, construct a hechitimtzi where the simcha salev is... go ahead.
The simcha salev in this case isn't from the mitzvah, it's not from the Talmud Torah, right. It's from the opinion.
Exactly. That's exactly right. This is something that, you know, the person was, you know, chaloshing for, and Baruch Hashem that he's chaloshing for Torah and not, you know, for chickies. But be that as it may, that's what generates his, you know, outstanding simcha. Okay. So then we had this whole discussion, you know, predicated, on even earlier comments, but later Rishonim and early Achronim, about can we push or defer the Shachianu past the Zman Kinyan? So that seemed like the natural time based on the Yerushalmi, the Rush and the Smak were very explicit about that. The Shulchan Aruch thought so as well. But here too, we began to see, you know, some qualifications. Shimmy?
The suit then needs to be brought to a tailor first.
Right. So the chafza, if the chafza really isn't, you know, suitable for its purpose yet, so maybe, you know, we draw the line there. And the question is, how far are we willing to take that? You know, what are the outer limits of that kind of an idea? So I suggested in an economy where Kinyan is perceived of as reversible, so it's hard to argue that it has the same chalos as, you know, you would naturally assume in the context of this particular sugya. But again, a person might debate that point, and I think that's where, you know, poskim could really reasonably take different perspectives depending on, you know, what the situation was all about. Just like we would, you know, ask the usher, according to the Radvaz, you know, how excited really are you? And even if it was the kli chashav biyoser, you know, he still wouldn't make the bracha. So Zman Kinyan, I think, flows pretty naturally from that as well. Levi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that yesterday you said methodologically that how important it is to see how the Rishonim and the fundamental principles and the Lumdus animate the halacha by looking at the Achronim. And we just saw another advantage because none of the Rishonim ever heard of such a thing as buying a pre-made garment, a pre-made suit, and then bringing it to a tailor. Only in the past, like, 200 years had such a thing popped up. So that's another advantage of looking into the Achronim.
Right, almost by definition, right? Because the applications really do... The applications really do change, and this is true in every area of halacha. And you know, you could just chart it out, and if, you know, by the same token, it's not like the Chafetz Chaim had the advantage of thinking about this with the perspective of, you know, 90% of commerce being done online. You know, in particular sectors of the economy, there's no way that was not even imaginable to me. In my lifetime, even though you guys probably can't, I would imagine that you don't remember a time when, you know, people didn't buy things, online. You know, we remember a time when, Amazon was thought of as like a joke. First of all, it opened up, by the way, as a bookstore, just so that you guys know, some of you probably know that. And they were losing money for like 6-7 years. And we're like, yeah, who's going to buy a book online? And, you know, and then they started selling other stuff. We're like, these guys are crazy. You know, they just like, you're just throwing good money, you know, after bad. We couldn't think of it's like the limits of the human imagination to think that like people would just completely change all of their habits. It's a fascinating thing. But the halachic principles will be able to accommodate all the new scenarios. Eitan, glad to see you safe and secure in a non-moving motor vehicle.
Wouldn't an item that you want to return be closer to Kana Umelcha Rekana? So we would say that you wouldn't say Ashechianu on it, meaning like it'd be closer to that example, I think, than the example of an item that needs to be tailored.
Well, the question is, you know, let's say it's really, your person is Masupak. Right, because you just don't know. You have to, you know, we dramatized it a little bit yesterday. You have to do, you know, bring in the Privy Council and, you know, have the, you know, the discussion about the pros and cons and the possibilities. So, you know, what do you say about a Kenyan that's a Kenyan basically outside Hasafik?
But tailoring, an item that needs to be tailored isn't really outside of Savik. It's just that there still needs to be some stuff done to it. But that Kenyan is still permanent. Once you got to tailor it, you can't return it then.
Right. But the presumption is, and you can debate the point. The presumption is that if the Cheftza really isn't Ra'oi for usage yet, that's going to have a downstream impact on the Simchas Halev. Hard to get so excited about it, you can't even really use it yet. Yeah. I don't know if this was just part of the previous generation's way of hardening us, but my parents had some rule, which seemed like a pretty common rule at the time, that we were never allowed to use our gifts within 24 hours of receiving them. So let's say we got an Afikoman present. We had to wait 24 hours before using it. That's what comes to mind here in terms of, you know... And maybe they were trying to teach us delayed gratification. I'm not really sure. But these were common tactics then, I guess, by today's standards. You'd probably have to call the authorities or something like that. But, you know, what I'm trying to pin down is like acquisition versus use and simchas halev, you know, type issues. Okay. Good. So with that, I don't know if Yenison has joined us yet. Anybody hear from him? Is he, in all seriousness, is he okay?
I don't know, Rabbi. We had a chavrusa, but he didn't come. We had a scheduled
thing.
I emailed and texted him, but I don't know.
Okay, right after Shira, I'll try to reach out. That's, you know, like I said, I didn't see anything about us, you know, let's say giving away Scranton in some kind of a treaty. Okay, so the other day, if, you know, you heard him, he said it very quickly. Yenison pointed out that the Aruch HaShulchan was very taken with the Ravid's suggestions. So just to review, the Ravid was able to find a Doraisa model for, you know, Banabayas Chadash, Vekana Kelim Chadashim, and to argue, you know, effectively for kol d'tikun rabbanan kein d'araisa tikun. That is to say, that just like the simcha associated, you know, with having, you know, a new wife, is mitigated by machzir grushaso, because, you know, this is a different kind of, it's a reunion, which is, can be very beautiful. But it does not have the same, it doesn't have the same halachic simcha associated with it. Doesn't apply. Doesn't apply. So once you're able to plug that in to the broader equation of the chosrin mimarachos hamilchama, so then, you know, we've taken things back to bayis chadash, and then the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, here's a really interesting question to ask. Bana bayis chadash, which seems to be the paradigm for Kana Kelim Chadashim, well, that's not the only example, because what else is there in that same section?
Nata Kerem.
Right. Mihoish Asher Nata Kerem, Velo Chililo, Milech V'yashov V'vesa. Very hard, by the way, to understand. I mean, what's... that, before we get into the Aruch HaShulchan's detailed presentation here, What's kind of strange about that as a general issue? It just, when you think about it.
Why should he be allowed not to go to war? Like, what's special about planting a field?
Right, that ever bother somebody? I mean, you know, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, it's great, but it's a little strange, right? Like, I could
also, yayin yisamach levav enosh is not going to be immediate.
Right.
Then it needs to yield grapes first, and even with the quirk of the Aruch HaShulchan about Arla.
What's the whole Ptur based on?
But isn't that Dafka the point?
Which is?
Isn't that Dafka the point, Rabbi? Like, the fact that he, it's like he's in that 24 hours you described. He, you know, it's not a Kenyan because he didn't necessarily just buy it. He could have, you know, but I think the whole point is that the Torah is trying to tell you that the fact that he's in the limbo state is like he has certain, certain fruits that are due him, and we don't have the right to like hold that back to him, it's almost like a cruelty.
Yeah, I think that's really a very good way of formulating it. And I understand when it comes to an isha, you know, v'isha acher yishkavena, or a bias, you know, we talk about an ish acher being able to be mechanech the bias. I understand that as the agmas nefesh, as the Rishonim referred to it, and the what you call it, like a kind of a cruelty, but like a kerem? It seems a little bit exaggerated. I don't know. So, Akiva, did you have a thought about it? Well, why would the Torah even have such a category? Doesn't seem to really be the equivalent. It's certainly not of, you know, a marriage. And, you know, I think there's a pretty big chasm between a marriage and a bias. But certainly not a bias. So the Kerem is a little surprising. Shimmy, what do you think?
I think that the lack of immediate reward is exactly why we aren't sending him to war, because he just almost started a long process. Like, he planted it, now he's going to need to guard it, you know, for years, and he'll need to prune it, and having to do all that work and then not to ever get to actually drink from it, so wine is kind of like a, you know, seen as like a cruelty, and that's why we make sure that he does get to drink
from it. Yeah, no, I understand that, but you're not at all troubled by the idea of equating it with a marriage or a new home? Seems like comparable to you, Yehuda?
I think it's because the Torah is saying the only thing that will let you stay home from war is the purchase of real property. A wife is frequently compared to a bias in the Torah. So I think that it equates that a wife in itself is not a unique thing, but is an extension of bias. And the only reason bias is significant is because it's the purchase of real property, which is land. So therefore, a kerem or a sedeh would also be a part of it. Meanwhile, something like chattel is not real property, and therefore doesn't matter.
Okay, but you know, in terms of the Torah's presentation, the ish acher, I do think it's like the Torah is suggesting that this has to do with a kind of a cruelty. You know, pen yamus b'milchama v'ish acher. Fill in the blank, you know, whether it's the kerem, bias, or isha, that, you know, we just can't do that to somebody. It seems like a little bit less technically oriented towards the purchase of real estate, though it's like a novel kind of an approach. I think Noam did say something here. I know Noam's microphone. Maybe just rate the importance of a kerem too low. Noam, do you want to expand on that? You're saying it's, you know, I'm prejudiced, you know, against the kerem? Yeah. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Ephraim?
What I would say is that I think basically the whole point of a war and going to war is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and be protection of the Jewish people. So if you're contributing to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and to, the continuation of the Jewish people in an intensive way, and you've just, like, begun the first steps of being able to do it, then we don't want to take you away from that, because Mimela, you're being involved in the same things here and there. It's just that in this case of a person who's within, either he's about to finish the job, or, or for someone who married and is in the first year of marriage, so we say that you're at a point where we need you to be involved in this battlefield rather than that battlefield. For these values.
Okay, so Rav Rosenzweig takes that approach. That's he was once giving a shiur on Parshas Bamidbar, which is why I chose to focus on it a little bit here, of Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. You guys know, like, I like that language very much, very taken with that imagery. And the issue between Rashi and the Ramban there is it actually Tzava in the literal sense. So Rashi says yes, and the Ramban says Tzava is just a machane gadol. It doesn't really mean that you're necessarily going out to war. And Rosenzweig tried to explain the kerem exactly in that way, that we're not talking about a milchames mitzvah here, right? That's the important distinction to keep in mind, because that's afilu chasan mechadro v'kala mechupasa, right? Milchames mitzvah, you know, where it's all hands on deck, you know, and, you know, they're invading New Rochelle, not actually New Rochelle, because it has to be Eretz Yisrael, but you know what I'm saying? When New Rochelle becomes, New Rochelle, you know, on the Mediterranean coast. Asidin, Basay Medra, Shabate Knesio, Shababel, Leos Kavuin, Be'eretz Yisrael, so we look forward to that. So when, you know, it's New Rochelle, in Israel, and, you know, they're invading it, so that there's no, exceptions to that. But if this is a Mechames HaRishos, which is also an important, method of expanding, as Rambam talks about, awareness of Yichud Hashem and the victory over Avodah Zarah, etc. So then that has to be counterbalanced by the normal functioning of society and the certain development of internal development of society and even the economy takes a role in that context. So it has to do with the halachic perspective, you know, on milchemes rishus. You know, we're not a we're not Sparta, right? We don't believe in marshaling our society, you know, like for total war at all times. That's not a halachic value. So there's a very delicate balance which needs to be struck between the cultivation of society and then the expansion of that society outwards in a milchemes harishus, as is appropriate, but only as is appropriate. So with that, let's try to get into the Aruch HaShulchan. Akiva, do you want to do the honors today?
Sure.
Thank you.
Snan, Baraba Eskada, Shakana Kelim Kadashem, Varif Larakhata Hashem, Lakina Mel Palam, Shakhi Anubi Kivanubi Yanubas Manazet. Atam, Nisha Simcha Hila.
Right, no secrets here, right? Let's put it right on the ledger.
Right, Itznan parakhas de soja echad abona bayit beis hateven beis habakar beis haotzar osayin sham de elu kulam v'chlal bayis.
They all have a chaloshim bayis, even though we would agree that building your primary domicile, Akiva, as you will do one day, I'm sure, with your own hands, won't feel, you know, exactly the same as, you know, building your cattle pen, your base bakar, or your storehouse, your base hateven.
So mikol makom shachiyano eno mevarich el al bayis mamish debezeh yesh simcha harbe v'lo bebeis hateven. Amnam v'had etznan hasam echar bona ve'echar alokeach ve'echar yorish ve'echar shenitan lo b'matana gam b'kan kenhu il inyan simcha zev zeshavin.
Right. So what the Aruch HaShulchan starts out by doing is doing this really subtle halachic work. I think very, very delicate halachic work, really, of trying to really ferret out the contours of what Kol D'Tikun Rabbanan Ke'en D'Oraisa Tikun would mean in this case. Right. That's really what he's trying to do. He's trying to feel that out. And that's a difficult process, right? Because he says this is definitely about simcha, and it can't be dissociated from that parsha in the Chumash, and yet not all the details are going to line up exactly. So method of transmission, matana, yerusha, kenyan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, because if the mechayev here is simcha, that should all be the same. But, you know, he does draw the line in other places.
So, in terms of what kind of house you're building.
Right, substance. Yeah. So that's a really interesting idea. By the way, you know, apropos our discussion about Kerem a moment ago, you could make the same argument about a base Bakar and a base Tevin versus a Bayis Chadash. You know, when you finished building your home, you know, what a moment that would be. Bana bayis chadash. Sometimes I think that we're a little bit alienated from this because of even the modern, you know, construction. You know, like people buy homes. It can't possibly be compared to the experience, imagine, of building a log cabin. You know, if you lived in, the Illinois frontier in the early 19th century, and, you know, you put together your domicile, you know, with your two eldest sons, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Abigail and, whoever her sister was returning the butter, it would be a very profound moment for you. So we even have to mention that. So the Aruch HaShulchan here is mechalik between method of transmission, where he says, yeah, kol d'tikun rabbanan ke'en d'oraisa tikun, we'll take all of that, but we have to be a little bit more discriminating in terms of the cheftza versus the bias per se versus the base bakar, base tevin. He's not, right, going to go that far with the model. But he sees this as the model. He sees this as the definitive model, and he says, we have to, you know, keep on thinking along these lines. Okay.
He also doesn't deny the fact that you are going to have simcha when you build the Beis HaTeven and the Beis HaBakar and the Beis HaTzaros, but he changes the brach of Shechianu not just to din in simcha, but simcha harbe.
Oh, okay, so good. So that's where this point, this sugya is going to segue into the next one about, you know, haroes chavero. What kind of friend are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, chavero? It's like a sort of reminiscent to Tosos and the Yerushalmi in the sugya of, you know, Yeres Chavero Berichok Dalet Amos, what kind of friend are we talking about? Okay, or as my younger sister used to like to say, the BFF, you know, so that's the different madrega already of friendship. So, I think if you look in the Loaze, some of the Dikduke Sofrim in Loaze Hatosvos, you may find such a reference there. Okay, so
I think somebody on the side changed the gear to the BFFL, like best friend for life.
That's a more updated version. Okay,
it's unclear which is more chamor.
I hear. I agree. Okay, so Vieshli's topic.
Vieshli's topic. B'marchei melchama chashiv shlusha dvarim. Bano bayist nata kerem v'nasa isha. Ech hadin b'sheach yanim. V'hine midelo chashiv b'haroa kerem v'isha shmamina dal elu ein mevar.
Right. So he says, well, you know, it's an interesting question, but, you know, there's no data to support this. So, you know, absent data, we can't just, philosophize about this. It's not recorded, right? The reason that we're having this discussion is because the Mishnah said, Abona bayis chadash, akana kelim chadashim. Now, you know, me'idach, you know, you have, just like we had with the Leida Zachar, you know, there's the Logara phenomenon. How could it be any less? Right? In terms of Isha, you know, you wouldn't say the same about Kerem, obviously.
Right.
But once you have Kelim Chadashim, you know, Kerem might be on the list. But the Erech HaShulchan says, you know, you have to start with the facts. The facts are what the facts are, and the data doesn't seem to support the hypothesis. Okay, but...
Well, Kerem Yesh Lomar, She'in Ze Simcha, I think Kibayist, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, this is sort of parallel to what we talked about with Bris, right? L'achnisa Risa Shel Avraham Avinu might itself be like, you know, according to some of the Rishonim, I mentioned to you Tosos and Psachim and Dav Zayin, a kind of a specified Shachianu, a Shachianu Prati, because the Simcha really, you know, is its own overwhelming Simcha. Okay, so... on the Isha, you know, why not make the Shachianu, right? That would be an amazing thing. After all, you know, Lashita Sarambam, the Misadar Kiddushin is not the one who should be making the Birchas Ha'erisin. You make a Shachianu, and you know, you say to her, you know, this is definitely not less than when I got my first pair of Air Jordans. I feel just that way all over again. Okay? Not serious. Okay.
Val Karam Yish sorry.
Vishlomar
Mishum Dibishas Irusin Ina Adayan Simcha Shlema the Efshar Lavari Hashafianu, Vishas Nisuin Shinigmira Hasimcha, Yefshar Lavari Mipnesha Etsa Madavar Kvar Nigmar Beirusin.
A really interesting idea. Now you can debate the point, but before we debate the point, let's just give the Erech HaShulchan, you know, a little bit of airtime here. So what is he basically saying?
There's really no good time to make the Shachianu, so we just don't make it.
So it's what they call in boxing, right? The TKO, the technical knockout, right? That on a technicality, you can't make the bracha, right? Eirusin wouldn't be the right time because Ama Simchas Halev, Achron, the Erech HaShulchan says, and Eirusin, you know, Asher Asar Lanu is Harusos. What am I making a bracha for?
Surely.
Right, exactly. She's Asura to me. Right? So, and then Me'idach, he says, with Nisuin, the problem is, how would you put it in your own terms? Why wouldn't that be the perfect time? Now she's, you know, Muteres. So why not make the Shachianu right then and there?
Because the Shas Kinyan, so to speak, is over.
Right, that's really what he's driving at. Right, he's very locked into this idea.
So then why isn't it similar to somebody who goes to a tailor and the chefza isn't yet ready? I mean, it's
I thought, I'm glad, I was hoping somebody would mention that. It seems like it's directly analogous, right? Kala below bracha, well, you assume below bracha is below bracha mamish, or kala below chuppah, however you understand that, asur labayla. So why do you have to be so rigid about it, Erech HaShulchan? Just say, you know, there was a technicality built into it. We had to get the pants taken in a little bit over here. So she needed the chuppah to be muteres. So there was a technical issue here, but now she's muteres. That's the.
So then, what would Rabbi consider the shas levisha?
Well, I think the natural time point would be right after chuppah. You've removed the The ikuv. The ikuv was that she was asura, right? When she was in arusa, she is asura. So he says that's why he can't make the bracha then, even though the shas kinyan. But the nisuin removes that problem. He's just saying, oh, it's too late already, right? Because you don't have that same, you know, simcha that you'd normally affiliate with kinyan. I think you described it correctly. I happen to think it's a little rigid. I don't think we have to be so rigid about it. But the Aruch HaShulchan, that's his perspective. He's very locked in to this technical, you know, reading. And it's V'chein B'Kerem.
Rabbi?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Wait, you mean?
Yeah.
I know this isn't quite how the Aruch HaShulchan formulated it. Why can't we formulate it that even, you know, you who want to be less rigid about it, say, you know, even though the Kinyan has already passed, we should be able to do it after the Nisuin. So maybe we could say that the Kinyan itself that doesn't have the full simcha to it. And so it's not a matter of time, but it's a matter of the ichus of the Kinyan itself.
I think that's a very compelling way of putting it. I hear that. Okay?
Because the whole time you've been talking about whether or not you have to make it at the time of the Kinyan, this whole time, all the way back since the Mishnah even, we've been talking about a Kinyan that engenders Simcha. If we're going down the Simcha route, we've been talking about a Kinyan that engenders Simcha. So given that this Kinyan itself, even though the marriage, even though Lisa Isha engenders tremendous Simcha, since the Kinyan itself has limited Simcha or mitigated Simcha, then that's the problem.
Yeah, I think that's a very compelling way of putting it. And I agree with you. I don't think that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. Because he could have just, right, said that. You know, but frankly, I think that idea itself probably, at least I have to reflect on it a little bit, but compels me more than this very, very rigid approach to the timing. And I don't see why we'd have to be so rigid about the timing. It's like the Mishnah Berurah said yesterday, like, well, you know, you have to make sure that the simcha hasn't totally dissipated, and, you know, we are all very entitled, and so, you know, the Afikoman present that we were so excited about last week, you know, a week later, you're already like, you know, this is an old hat. But, you know, hopefully you don't feel that way about, in this case, so I, you know, prima facie, I prefer Levi's formulation. So then he says the same thing about Kerem. I thought this was very clever. He says, if you're willing to accept what I had to say about the Isha, then I have an, I think, even stronger case about the Kerem. Okay, so go ahead, Akiva. Right, in the parentheses he puts.
Kasim Mishnah.
Right, exactly. In other words.
Not that goes by Munios.
Yeah, right. He's saying, you know, if you learn the Sugi, you know what I'm talking about. So he doesn't try to, you know, pull the Rambam over in the direction of Rov Rishonim. But I can't be certain of it, by definition. But, you know, there is possibly a diuk of monumental significance in this paragraph in the Aruch HaShulchan, if you really meant it.
That maybe Pam Achas, having gotten it once, would be different than having gotten it twice, three times, or 100 times.
Right. V'kana v'chazer v'kana, right, the Aruch HaShulchan might be, you know, meduyak. He's a strict constructionist. It's not kana v'chazer v'kana, v'chazer v'kana, v'chazer v'kana, right? The way that almost all of the Rishonim assumed, it's just that you get one more time. And that was a whole predicate of the Chafetza track in the Lamdas, is to say, you know, are you really serious? You know, like, how could it possibly be that the 73rd time that you're purchasing, you know, this Kli Chashuv, because you have unlimited means, that it engenders any simcha? So that's, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan might be responding to precisely that critique, right, as a simcha person, and saying, I'll tell you that Rov Rishonim Paskin against the Rambam, and then we really do go like Rabbi Yochanan Liba Delishna Basra, but there are limits to that approach. And what limit, one limit to that approach should be the question of like, well, how many times have I had something like this? So if it's kind of a chazar v'kana, v'chazar v'kana, so that's already too much of a stretch. So l'shitaso, I think it's definitely possible. I think the words say that, but I'm a little bit reticent to conclude, you know, because I just don't feel like I have enough information to draw this conclusion on the basis of the Aruch HaShulchan. But it is a little bit, it's an unforced thing for him to have said. Pam achas, right? Like, why does he stick that in? We don't find that anywhere. So it's just very striking. It's something that I think should be kept in mind. It's definitely not the majority view. May even be a das yachid in the complete sense of the term, but I thought it was a very fascinating possibility. Okay, now just to bring things home.
Yoser me Ashir, the Kalim Khashuvim, Akam Shom. Pasak Rabinu Habis Yosef, Bisiv Bav Kedas Harach. Yishmi Shomer, the Gamma Tosvil Sovrim came. The Inhu Lomairi Baani. Aba Rabinu Haramakasa, the Yishomrim, the Filu Ani, Enum Varchal, Halok Minalim, Uchudome, Fedo, Akam Shono. Bered Varov. The Das HaTosvos Kenu, the Vadai Afgarm Chashuvim, Kivagadim, the Kalim Yakarim, Talui Bashiraso, Vanyaso. The Ani Gam Begad Pashut, Yeshul Chashivos, Mavarachal Shafiyan, Kina Ashir, Inam Mavarach, El Begad Yakar, Kimashi Vitsamer Tov Uchadome. Bizer Hakomo, the Gam Harashra, poor Svira Lakein. Ella, the Bizemo Sifin HaTosvos, the Alchalokumin Alayim Van Pulos, Gam Hani.
Right, so this is something that obviously we encountered, and the perspective that we developed is like, you know, mehechatesi, that's really true of the Ani. It certainly doesn't sound that way according to the Rush. Okay, so but now the last few lines are obviously very important.
Val svarim yesh mi sheomer shein levarich the mitzvahs lav lehanos nisnu v'yesh chokim bezeh umi she gamar ezech.
Right, it's not clear whether people are actually practicing theirs. So I'm just going to put on mute for a second. I'm getting a lot of feedback. I don't know why, if that's me. Well done, Akiva. So a couple important issues here. So he raises up the question again of Sfarim. He says that's a machlokes achronim. And then he says, well, let's say you're the one that produced it. And Misha Gamer is a chibor, Yesh Misha Omer Levarech Shechianu, but, you know, he's not in love with it. And take a look in the Shari Tshuva, Velo Naginan Kain. Now again, the question of Gemar Chibur definitely controls for the critique of Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nisnu, right? Because you wouldn't be doing it on the sense of, you wouldn't be doing it actually on the mitzvah, you'd be doing it on the sense of satisfaction that a person would have, a really sense of achievement, healthy sense of achievement or accomplishment that a person would have. So I wanted to say that I thought this was the Aruch HaShulchan Lashitasa, something that he had commented previously. Something about this question of Gemar Chibur that, Shimmy, what does it remind you of in terms of his approach?
It's the same thing you said by the Kerem, that when you first planned it, you don't say Shechianu because you haven't really finished it yet.
Right, and then when you finish it, Kvar Nigmar Ha'inyan. So it sounds that way. And just one final point. So he raises the issue of the Beis HaKnesses, right? And his take, right? And we know this is a controversy because we already saw the opposing view, was that Beis HaKnesses, no. Now, what do we make of that? And we had that interesting discussion yesterday about, you know, could it really be compared to a bias? But based on the Aruch HaShulchan's own tendencies here, in terms of the way that he's thinking about this,
doesn't seem like there's an individual who experiences Simcha because of this.
Right. So I think everybody would probably be, you know, happy and excited, right? But what's he really... We had to sharpen your statement, Akiva, just a little bit. Is everybody's going to be happy, right? They finished construction in Rinan, right? Everybody's excited. You know, people feel good about that, rightfully so. There's a sense of pride and identification. But what's the...
There was no Simchas HaKinyan involved. You weren't Kona anything. You didn't do anything, like, personally. There was no personal involvement. So that's how you could... I guess answer for
tell that to the donors, man.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think you're getting at something. I think it's important. Yeah, Ilan, how would you formulate it?
There's no single person who has enough simcha to be able to make the bracha. Even if combined, they have enough. But
yeah, I think that's right. I think that what happens is, Elon, here is that there's a kind of a diffusion. And that diffusion, because the simcha is diffused over a much larger group of people, and frankly, even if it's not quantitatively the largest group of people, I'm not saying it has to be, you know, if you have 700 families in the shul, so that diluted everybody's simcha rate down to, you know, 4 quotients or something like that. I think because it's a simcha satzibur, the matbeah of Shechianu is less appropriate, right? Shechianu v'kiyumanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh. It's like a story about a personal journey of survival and arriving at a particular milestone. You know, and I think that's really a critically important idea. There's something so personal about the Shechianu. So even something that's definitely as important or more important than a house, right? Can't have a city without a Beis HaKnesses, and it should be in the Makom Gavoa, right? It has to do with what's the nature of the Shechianu. The Shechianu is so deeply personal that anything which is nitkan for the Tzibor, by the Tzibor, with the Tzibor, so that is a different, I think, is a different halachic question altogether. So I think this is a really good place to hold up this part of the sugya, you know, which is that, you know, when we talked about Bayis Chadash and Kelim Chadashim, to begin with, there's obviously, you know, the perspective of Rosh Shri Ragon and say, you know, it just can't be. This bracha, and in a certain sense, is, I don't want to use too strong a language, but is denigrated by, you know, using it for these kinds of material things. But And I think the other point of view is if a person really doesn't take things for granted, I guess nobody should take things for granted. That's part of this time that we're, you know, experiencing, is having our entitlements checked very much, how things can be taken pretty quickly. So a person is operating from that point of view, you know, the language of the Rosh seems like the most fitting place, you know, to conclude. Ba'asher hu adam, you know, something, you know, causes a person a sense of joy because he didn't take it for granted. You know, on the contrary, you know, the response to Rav Shriragon, I think, would be and is, it's not a denigration of the bracha, but it's a reflection of the fact that there's so much that we really have to be grateful for, and to genuinely be excited about, and hopefully we're not so cynical, on the other hand, entitled, that when we have even material enhancements in our lives, you know, hopefully we can react with a genuine sense, ba'asher hu adam, of simchas halev. Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Yates, seems to have had that experience in a very authentic and genuine way. Where we go from here, of course,